flowers with spices that are kept in a jar for their fragrance. Well, it's obvious we're not having that. Another definition was a musical medley. Well, maybe we could get Grace and Chelsea to give us a musical medley, but it's not that because they're not. I didn't prepare them. Another definition is a collection of miscellaneous literary extracts. Nope, I'm not into literary extracts. Then the last one is what I expected. Any mixture, especially of unrelated subjects. And you know, as I read my Bible, as I do some studying, as I read other resources, I'll call it, I find things that, boy, that'd be worth sharing. But the Lord never prompts to develop a whole message out of it. But I either clipped it or made notes or, you know, according to where it came from. So I keep it. And tonight, we're having a potpourri of some of those things. Now, they're related. You know, the definition dictionary said unrelated. Well, they're related in that they all have to do with the Bible. They have to do with Christian living an exhortation to godliness, etc. But it's not like there's a theme for this message tonight. If you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A Christian who does not share the gospel is like a bus driver who won't drive a bus. Or it's like a barber who doesn't cut hair. Jesus said we are to be witnesses unto him. So the question that I pose is, do you have any spiritual children? Now, there is something worth praying for. There is something worth working toward. Because praying alone won't achieve it. But we need to be witnesses. We need to be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the high-pressured kind of witnessing. I'm not talking about the kind of witnessing that tries to buttonhole people. But we need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. A good place to begin is by telling them what he's done for you. And another place that you can approach it from is if you are reading your Bible and the Lord impresses something on you. Just tuck that in the back of your mind with the idea, and then when God opens a door that'll fit through, then of course you share that. It'll just fit into the conversation. You won't have to force it. There's always gospel tracts. Good to carry gospel tracts. And now, gospel tracts can get, we've referred to it as dog ear. You know, the corners get bent over, and they should be in pristine shape, excellent shape to give them out. Now, used to be ladies had an edge on us men for that because they could carry them in their purse. But you don't see as many purses as what you used to. And But regardless, carry gospel tracts. We have little thank you cards over there that are good when you go to a restaurant, or if you're shopping, you can give it to a clerk. There are also small, what I'm going to call witness cards. They're not thank you cards. They're small cards. Obviously, they're giving a just usually a verse or two on it. But I know my son, he likes to use them because they are so brief and people will more readily read them. But whatever format you use, we're to be witnesses. Now, Paul, he did this. He had spiritual children, and he passed on the gospel message. Now, one of his ministries was, of course, to preach and introduce people to Jesus, but he had individuals that he brought to salvation in Jesus Christ. And he not only was a spiritual father, but he was a spiritual grandfather. And what I mean by that is people that he led to the Lord, then they went on and led others to the Lord. And so we are to be that way. You don't have to have a lot of skill, okay? You don't have to be golden-tongued. It was in April of 1885. You say you have to go back that far to find an illustration, you'll understand as I open it up. There was a man named Kimball, and he went into a shoe store where there was a clerk that he had developed a burden for, a young man. And the shoe clerk's name was Dwight. Mr. Kimball went into the store this particular day, and he stuttered and stammered, but he told Dwight about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the shoe racks, this young 19-year-old clerk bowed his head and gave his heart to Jesus and became Mr. Kimball's spiritual son. And that young man gained a heart to share Jesus. He lived in Chicago, and he began to gather boys and girls together and take them to Sunday school. You might recognize his name more, Dwight Moody, D.L. Moody, the renowned, literally around the world, evangelist for the gospel. And it was this uneducated shoe clerk that became the D.L. Moody that we hear of and hear many preachers quoting. And it was Mr. Kimball who stuttered and stammered when he spoke that introduced D.L. Moody to salvation in Jesus Christ. God might use you if you'll allow him to give you a burden and not fluff it off or not try to make excuses for why you couldn't. You know, if we spent as much time finding reasons why to do something that we spend on finding excuses why not to do things, we get a whole lot more accomplished, right? Not only in witnessing, but in anything. Can you imagine pulling your car into gas station to gas up, and while you're pulling in, you see a man in front of you, he's actually pushing his car in, so you figure, wow, he ran out. But then you look at the car even more so, and you realize that one of the headlights is out, not just turned out, I mean broken out, and the one fender's it's tied up, wired up, flopping in the breeze. And one of the tires is very low, almost flat. And here's this guy pushing the car, and I thought about myself. I pushed my car a lot of places in years past. Oh, my lands, did I ever push that thing around. And I had a motorcycle. I swear I spent more time pushing it than I ever did riding it. It was called a Zundapp. Anybody ever heard of a Zundapp? I didn't think so. I think it was a German make. But nevertheless, here's this guy going in the gas station, and besides that, he's going for gas, but he has trouble filling it up because there's a hole in the tank. You think to yourself, what in the world is going on with this fella? And as you're watching, you would think and likely wonder, what in the world is going on? And yet we say, oh God, show me your will. And God says, why should I? You're not prepared to do my will. You don't really mean it, God says, when you say, show me your will. Think about that. Acts chapter 9. We're in chapter 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 5. This has to do with the conversion experience of Saul. Acts 9, verse 5. And he said, that is, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, look at it. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go in to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The man who became Paul the Apostle, he said in genuineness, Lord, what will you have me to do? We must be careful that we don't ask God for his will with a check it out attitude. God, what's your will about this or that? With the idea that depending on what he shows us, we'll do it. But depending on what he shows us, we won't do it. No, there's got to be an upfront 100% committal to do what his will is. When we say, God, what is your will? Then we have got to be committed to doing that will. He's not going to show us otherwise. He's not going to play our games. He is looking for men who are going to serve him. What would it look like today if our life were to be yielded to God in that manner, not of, I'll check it out and see, but in the manner of, Lord, what will you have me do? And then we just follow through and do it. I dare say each one of our lives would look different if that were the case in past years of our lives. We know it's right to do the will of God. We know it's right to ask for the will of God. But God is not interested in mental experiences. He's interested in yielded hearts. On Friday night of the men's fellowship, Pastor Art Cole preached an excellent message. If you ladies have not gone online and listen to that, you should. First of all, his testimony alone is very interesting. Amen. And you would find encouragement just in hearing his testimony, but then the message itself. I know I told Pat about how good the message was, and then I mentioned about how I must have done a good job selling it. Okay, how good his testimony was, because she went online and listened to it. And she, when it was done, she said, wow, that was good. And it was. But one of the things he pointed out there was in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? If somebody's bewitched, they're tricked, they're deceived, okay? Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. And there's one thing I want to know about you. Like to these Galatians. Now remember, Galatia is not a city. It's a region. And therefore it has several different churches. Look at it in your Bible maps and you'll see it's a whole region, a whole area. And he said, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, it's a rhetorical question. It's an obvious answer. You receive it by faith. Then he makes this statement, are ye so foolish? Now, I know it's a question mark there. This, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Brother Cole emphasized how important it is that we live by faith and not just a set of laws. Now, we're not talking about the Mosaic law that Israel did. But the laws that we impose on people, okay? And he illustrated. And he made the point that the end result of these laws that we put people under, or these rules and regulations that we lay on people, he said the end result is a good thing, but that people ought to come to that by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God and not because of some rules and regulations that gets laid on them. Now, in the process of preaching, people will be exposed to the kind of living that is pleasing to the Lord, but they should not do it simply because they heard it in a sermon. They need to do it because the Holy Spirit of God that lives in them has convicted them, and he, the Holy Spirit, has led them to this outcome. Women ought to dress modestly. So should men. Okay. Ought to dress modestly. But they ought to do it because the Spirit of God put that on their heart.
That's right. Yes.
Not simply because somebody else told them.
That's right.
Now look, a Christian, when you got saved now, and a Christian, Christians dress this way, Christians act this way, Christians don't go here, they don't go there. Now, that people would be exposed to the truth that I just stated, that is all right. But there's a line, and I don't think it's a fine line. There's a line between letting people know what kind of living godly Christians do and telling somebody that's what you ought to do. That's the Holy Spirit's job to tell people that. I don't know where they are in their walk with the Lord. And I have seen too many. Now, I didn't always feel the way I'm telling you now. Okay? And if you hear me preach on something like modesty address, you're going to wonder if I've backslidden. No, people need to be told what is godly and what is pleasing to the Lord. But there's a difference between declaring that and imposing that on people. Now here's the problem. When somebody starts living a certain list of rules and regulations, and it's not been prompted by the Holy Spirit, then they're going to burn out. They're going to wear out. Okay, because it's not real. They're going to get pressure from friends or family, okay, or just themselves, and therefore they're going to they'll give up. I tried that. I lived that way, you see. Now, like I say, there's a line there between declaring what is right and then demanding that somebody do that. Well, I never demanded that somebody do that. I just said it to them in an awful strong form. Yeah. You say, well, you want them to continue dressing the way they are? No. No, indeed not. But I've got a system for that. Didn't always have this system, but I've got a system for that.
That's right.
What's this represent?
Praying.
Praying, yeah.
That's right.
It's amazing what prayer can do
right.
for a person. It's amazing what will happen in people's lives when you have other people burdened for them, praying for them, encouraging them, befriending them, helping them in so many different ways. Now some people, when they get saved, they start out running. Some people, when they get saved, I mean, they look anything that they hear taught and they hear preached, they just grab hold of it and run with it, okay? And then there's others who they're not as fast. They'll hear the same messages, they'll hear the same subjects, but I'm not so sure about that. Let me think that over, okay? They don't jump into it as quickly as another person. Now, which is the right one? There's no right or wrong in this sort of thing. The Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God has saved each of them, the Spirit of God will lead each of them in His own way. Now, that might be hard for you to grab hold of. There were times when it was hard for me to grab hold of. As a matter of fact, I didn't grab hold of it. But after you live as long as I did and you saw as many casualties as I saw, people that you thought for sure this is going to be a winner, and you find out that they weren't. It's heartbreaking. And see, then what we want to say is, well, you know, they didn't grow up in a Christian home. Therefore, they didn't have the kind of influence that they needed. And that's why they don't understand these things. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God is limited by the home that a person comes out of. Well, no, I don't mean that. No, but you see, that's sort of behind those kind of statements. And I heard older preachers preach the very same thing that I'm preaching now. I heard them say, just trust the Lord to work in people's lives. And I don't know what I said in my mind, but it was wrong. Okay, it was wrong. Because yeah, trust the Lord. But He might need my help. Well, I won't go that far. I did. And probably some of you have. And we just need to trust the Lord. You see, it's easier to follow rules and regulations. And as I said, often the end results are right. Modest dressing, okay. not drinking alcohol, not gambling. The end results are right, but when it's done by self, then it's what Paul says, who hath bewitched you? You started in grace, but now you're going to take care of it by yourself or by somebody else's list of rules. And that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about here in Galatians chapter 3. You see, Romans chapter 12, very, very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, here's what we need to urge people to do. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, when somebody has presented their bodies to the Lord, they're not going to dress the way that they used to dress. Now, you can get them to dress the way you want them to when they're around you. And that's often all it'll be. Okay, when they're around us. And when they're around the other crowd, they're going to dress like that. But if they present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that doesn't mean completely, it means godly, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, you're not asking too much of a new Christian. And be not conformed to this world. Conformed to this world means to be squeezed into this world's mold. And that's what the world wants to do. It wants to take a new Christian and squeeze them into the way of the world. But he goes on and he says here in verse 2, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul told the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And transform. Now, it is harder to be transformed as compared to being conformed. Harder in the sense that we don't control it. It's easier in the sense that God is doing it, but it's harder in that we don't control it. Not good night. They've been saved for 5 weeks. You think they'd soon understand some of this stuff. I mean, it took me 3 years to get a hold of some of this stuff. But now I know about it, and I expect that new Christian to come on board in 3 months. See, it's harder. Harder in the sense that we don't control it, nor does the person control it. Be not conformed, but be transformed. My last rose petal in our little bottle of fragrance tonight. An old farmer was sitting on his porch, and a man was out for a Sunday drive. Don't know what day of the week it was, but he was out for a Sunday drive, so he was just puttering along. And he saw the farmer sitting up on his porch and decided to stop and chat with him. So he did. Pulled in the driveway, got out, gave the old man a greeting. The farmer responded. And the old man's dog was sitting there just howling, painfully howling away all the while they were talking. Finally, the younger man asked why the dog was howling, and it seems painfully so. The old man said, well, he's sitting on a nail. The younger man said, well, why doesn't he move? The old man answered, he likes to sit there.
Right.
So it is with people in sin. They howl about and complain about the results of their life, but they continue with their sin because that's what they want to do. And really, they're not looking for a solution. They're probably just looking for a little bit of sympathy as they go on, sitting on that nail. Father in heaven, now here have been random thoughts. Each item, a truth about Christian living. And I pray that by your Spirit, indeed, our hearts be fixed with those areas.